This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لعبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وقال تعالى يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and any sisters that will listen later on to the video, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, and every time I say sisters, I'm not trying to say some of you are sisters here, okay? Every time I say this is the video recording here, so because they're going to listen, I want to address them as well. Love is something which is really strange, because love sees no boundaries. Love is something that a person has when they have their love for someone. Their senses don't work. You know the senses? The senses don't work. So when a person is in love with someone, for example, let's just say, if a person had love for their mother and father, and someone was to say something bad to their mother and father, the senses sometimes don't work. I know in an ideal situation, someone says something wrong to your mother and father, you're supposed to deal with it in a reasonable way. But people, before they even reply with their tongue, they're going to reply with their hand when something like that happens. You know, like, you said that to my mom, you said that to my mom. And situations occur, sometimes even when a brother, you have a love for a brother, your own brother, your own blood brother, or your sister, sometimes don't work. You see them in trouble, you will go there and you will do whatever, it doesn't matter what it takes to get them out of trouble. And that's love. A mother will jump in a house of fire if a child's inside, she won't care, because that's love. It goes beyond logic. The reasoning and logic don't have no space when love becomes intense. And that is one of the reasons why when we say we have iman, where is our iman? Show me where is your iman, brothers. Where's your iman? Show me, show it to me, go on. Show it to me. Where's your iman? You don't know.
It's in your heart.
Do this. There's a reason why I'm making you do this. Do this. It's here. Iman is not in here. Iman is not in here. You use reason and logic to try and understand iman. That's why Allah said in the Holy Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That ilm or knowledge of iman is something that is necessary. So, knowing who Allah is before you believe who Allah is necessary. You can't just believe in Allah without knowing Allah, meaning that you can't, if you don't know who Allah is, what Allah is, if you don't know nothing, you just say, I just believe in Allah, it's not going to count. You need to know what you're believing in. If you just say, okay, I believe in someone called Muhammad, you've got no knowledge about his sunnah, what he is, or nothing about, like, even a prophet. You don't even know he's a prophet or not. And you just say you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not going to count. So knowledge precedes iman. But once that knowledge is there, a person stores the iman inside here. The heart, with the heart we believe. So we say, iqrar bil lisan. A person will have to testify with the tongue, that's fine. That's to show everybody that, I'm a believer. But then it says, tasdeequm bil qalb. Then it says, tasdeequm bil qalb, which means that the heart has to attest to what the tongue has said. The heart has to affirm what the tongue has just said. So that's where iman is stored, inside the heart. But once the iman is stored inside the heart, what you find after that is, it will slowly, if you allow iman to grow, it will slowly show itself transparent in your body, in your limbs. And that's something I'll come to later on. But first thing I want to say to you is that love is something which is in the heart, and iman is something which is in the heart. And Allah did not put iman in here. Why? Because iman is something which, once it's in here, it doesn't understand. Half time don't understand something, you know, like, why, you don't have to always reason why you believe. And there's a big lesson in this, brothers. If you try and say, I want to prove the existence of Allah, I want to prove that Allah is there, I want to prove all of this, I'll be honest with you, if you're going to go down the road of philosophy, and you're going to go down the road of logic and reasoning and all of that, then shaitan has got many ways of disproving God. And if you try and battle with him with your logic, then eventually shaitan can win you. I'm not saying that logic, I'm not saying we can't use any logic, any reasoning to understand God. No, don't get me wrong, please, brothers. But I'm saying if you're going to go with purely logic, nothing to do with iman, you're going to say pure logic, I need every logical angle to be, covered before I can believe in God, or before, I've got that and so on. You can't. That is why they say about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, on his deathbed, he has shaitan coming, and shaitan comes and starts to argue with him about the existence of God. And he gives one argument, and when he gives one argument, then shaitan gives another argument, and he gives another argument, shaitan gives another one, and he gives another one, shaitan gives another one, and carries on, carries on, carries on, until it's difficult, there's no more evidences to provide to this, to Uncle Shaitan. What happens is his Imam Ahmad Ustad, he's performing wudu, and he realizes that his student is in this situation. And he says, say that you believe in Allah without a dalil, without a proof. Say you believe in Allah without a proof. And that's what iman sometimes is. Yes, we know logic and reasoning is there. But a lot of the times what it is that we believe in Allah, what? Without proof. Yeah, I don't need to have proof. In the sense, okay, I've got Quran. Fine, I've got Quran. You can bring me arguments to say the Quran wasn't this, that, blah. I've got proof to prove myself that the Quran was genuine. It's never been changed in 1400 years and so on. I can say that. Try and bring a surah like it. I can say all of that. But you can, if you're a philosophical person, you can come and say to me, what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that? You can leave me mesmerized. What about this angle, what about that angle? You can do that. But iman is something that once you've got your beliefs, you say that, I believe in this. Why? Because the whole world, all these Muslims have got a chain going up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's Sahaba, there's Sunnah, there's Hadith, we find all of this. Yes, you can say all of that. But some guy can come, some shaitan can come one day and try and twist you. And at that moment, what do you do at that moment? At that moment, you refer to the first verse of the Qur'an. What is that? The first verse of the Qur'an is, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book, there's no doubt in it. خلاص. You start the Qur'an with that. This book, there's no doubt in it. In fact, when you first start the Qur'an, what do you say? You say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Why do you say that? Because again, Uncle Shaitan has got all the arguments, if you try to go down his route, he's gonna use his screwdriver. And with his screwdriver, he's gonna twist you and turn you. So we say, A'udhu Billahi Shaitan, and we say, oh Allah, protect me from the outcasts of Shaitan. And then after that, one of the first verses, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book, there's no doubt in it. Why are we saying that? Why did Allah start the Qur'an with that? Do you know that there are professors in the world, many, many professors in the world, who know the Qur'an better than me and you, but they don't believe in the Qur'an? There are professors in universities who lecture on the Quran, who know the syntax of the Quran, the nahw of the Quran, they know the morphology of the Quran, they know the i'jaz, the miracle of the Quran, they know the Arabic of the Quran cannot be matched with any other Arabic, they know all of this, they teach it, but they have no iman inside here. You know why? Because those people don't believe in ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Those people say, I can assess this book. I look at this book, maybe this, maybe that. You know the whole Western philosophy, the whole Western world is based, the education is based on one axis. And if you understand this, you will understand why it is that they always question God, they always question the Quran, they always question Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's based upon the axis of what? That there can never be an absolute truth. Their philosophy says there can never be an absolute truth. If there's a truth to something, there has to be a falsehood to it. So if you say that God exists, they want to know an argument that God doesn't exist. If you say that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam existed, they want an argument that he didn't exist. If you say he was truthful, they want to know whether he lied or not, whether he did something wrong or not. And that's where the whole philosophy goes. And we, with our iman, we surpass all of that. We say we believe in Allah azza wa jal, and it's the absolute truth, and we believe in Allah azza wa jal being the haqq and the one who's existing, and we believe that he defies all of their logic and their proof and so on. But anyway, this is not a talk about philosophy. What I want to say to you is, my brothers and sisters who are going to listen to this later on, that iman is something in the heart. Why did Allah put it in the heart? Because you know, in the heart you've also got love. When love is there, then it defies sometimes reasoning and logic. And there's a reason why Allah created us like this. Because you need both. You need to start assessing things with your head, but you also need a heart that can show great love. And love is something which increases, love increases by a few things. Number one is if somebody did you a favor, you have genuine love for that person. If somebody did you a favor, you have genuine love for that person. So if you have a friend or somebody, an uncle or someone who's given you loads of gifts and so on, you will have genuine love for that person. Number two, you have love sometimes for a person or a being because of a quality they have inside them. So you know, like there are certain young boys who love following, you know, a team of football, you know, a football team, and they have love for this football team, they follow it, they follow their games, their matches and so on. Why? Because they've got a quality inside them, they've got skills in them. These qualities, the quality of actually, you know, being able to kick a ball, mashallah, what a quality, you know. Just to kick a ball, just to basically, you know, be able to tackle someone, be able to show some kind of skill on the ground. You know, these boys sometimes go mad with following this team. Sometimes I don't get it. You know, sometimes I don't get it. You know why? Because you're following them fanatically, that's fine. But, you know, don't spoil your mood, brothers. Don't spoil your mood just because you followed the team and the team lost. Then you, because the team's all crying, then you feel, it's love, isn't it, end of the day? Because they're crying, they're in Italy. They're in Italy. They're called AC Milan. Or they're called, in Spain, called Barcelona. Or they're in some other country and you've never met them. Isn't it true? These guys have never met them. Never probably going to see them. They're all only seeing them on TV. Or on their devices, and they follow them because they followed them and they've seen the skill inside them. There's no other connection. AC Milan has never come and done them a favor. You know, another reason to love is when somebody's, you know, beautiful. That's another reason I'm going to come to. But AC Milan, if you look at the players, you're not going to say that they're looking handsome and beautiful. You know what I'm saying, like, brothers? They've done no favor to you. They've, you know, you can't say that, you know, you like them for that reason. But you only like them because you followed them and they've got a skill inside them. And you like the skills with whichever football team it is. You like the skills inside them and you follow them for some time. Your heart gets inclined towards them. This is the human being Allah's created us like this. Any person who you look up to and they've got some skill inside them or something of value, some quality inside them. It doesn't have to be skill like football. It can be any value inside them. You follow them like people go crazy for celebrities. Why? Because it's that quality, the quality of singing. The quality of singing and drawing so many people towards themselves. Sometimes it's not about them, it's about the crowds that they pull towards themselves. And everyone's into it. Oh, wow, you know, I've got to be into it as well. But you can see what the heart does. The heart, once it's got love for someone, it will be driven towards them. But I want to say to you a couple of words about this crazy football thing that some of you guys got going on, yeah? If you follow any one team, then I feel sorry for you. Seriously. Because every time they lose, you have a bad day. And I don't understand why you're having a bad day. Brother, you're in the middle of London. You're never going to meet them. You got no connection with them. They're crying over there. You know, they've lost their millions or whatever it is there. What have you lost? You've lost nothing. That's why I say to you, please, if you're going to follow football. Don't follow a football team. Don't follow a football team. Don't support a football team. Psychologically is bad for you because you know what you know. The chances of you winning is going to be very low. If there's 32 teams playing for a cup, 32 teams playing for a cup, 31 have to lose and only one's going to win. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong? Come on, guys.
Yeah,
I'm correct. So there's 31 bunch of losers there, man. 31 bunch of crazy people out there. You know, the chances of you winning is going to be 1 out of 32. Allahu Akbar. And you still want to carry on making your life miserable every time they lose. Allahu Akbar. But anyway, so one is that you love someone because of a favor. One is you love someone because of a quality inside them. Another one is beauty. And now we all know what we're talking about, yeah? When a guy falls in love with his girl, yeah, Allahu Akbar. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. He don't know anything. You know what I said? That when the love comes in here, you know, the mind, it don't work properly, you know? So he knows that this girl is probably not wearing a hijab. And he wants to have a good practicing sister. He wants her to pray and, you know, wear the hijab. He looks at it and says, Inshallah, one day she will wear hijab. Inshallah. That's all he says. You say, brother, wake up. What's wrong with you? Wake up, man. She's not wearing it. She's going out there one day here, one day there. You know, she might be seeing another boy tomorrow. All these boys outside, they're looking at her like this, you know. Hey, but she's a good girl inside. She's a good girl. She won't do that. No. No. The guy can't think straight. You know, his love of his heart inclined towards the beauty of this girl. He's lost it. He can't. Some people, they, you know what happens? They lose their appetite over another individual. Allahu Akbar. They lose their appetite. Some lose their sleep. Food, sleep goes, man. Especially, you know, with girls. It's worse with girls. You know, with guys, yeah, if they break up with a girl, it's like the guy can get over it. Sometimes girls, they lose a boy, they start cutting their wrists. They start getting a knife. They might not cut their wrists, but they might start making lines here. Honestly, there's girls that will do that. They cause damage. They inflict harm on themselves. You know, like, they start cutting themselves. Why? Because they lost that love. You think about it logically. You think about it. Why on the earth is this girl doing this? She's causing herself harm. She goes, you know, she loses her appetite, she loses her sleep, and she loses, you know, she just can't stop dreaming about the other person. You know why it happens? Because once the heart has got some kind of intense love, this thing up there sometimes doesn't work. Another reason why you might love someone is because of connection. So we have our mother and fathers. We have our brothers and sisters. We have aunties, we have uncles. The blood connection that we've got, that will make you naturally have love for them. Your own siblings and so on, you have natural love for them. They might not, you know, like for example, you know, you might not have grown up with an uncle for your life, but soon as you know he's your uncle, and that blood connection is there, he's never done you any favors. Never done you any favors. And he doesn't have any qualities inside him. And you know, whatever it is with his own beauty, but you're not going to look at your uncle like that. But the fourth one is there, the blood connection is there, and because of that, naturally you're inclined towards your uncle, and you have love for your uncle, even though you never grew up with him. Just by knowing that it's my dad's brother, just by knowing that it's my mum's brother, you have natural love for this uncle of yours. That's a connection. So there's four reasons why a love may get start, might start in a person's heart. So number one, what is that? What is the reason for love? Someone's done a favor. Number two is what? They have a quality inside. Number three?
Beauty.
Number four? There's a connection. Now, each one of these loves, Allah Azza wa Jalla has created, and a human can have it. Allah Azza wa Jalla, in terms of Him and His connection with us, let's look at the first one. What's the first reason why you might have love for someone? Say it again. Favor. Has Allah done us any favors?
Yes.
Let me hear again. Has Allah done us any favors?
Yes.
How many? How many? Come on. Now this is a big question. See, you know, you can say, oh, billions. It took you a second to say billions. It took you a second. Now, I want to spell this out because that's what humans do. If you say, what did Allah create? You say, Allah created everything. That's it. It's everything. Now, there's a difference in me saying Allah created everything and me saying that Allah created me, He created my family, He created my relatives, He created my friends, He created my emotions, He created my life, He created the air, He created the rain that gives me life, He created the sun, He created the earth, He created the mountains, He created, you know, and you carry on going. Is there a difference, yes or no, when I start counting all these creations, instead of saying, Allah created everything? Is it a difference or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Big difference. A big difference. So when I say in terms of Allah has showered His mercy on me, He showed me His favors, bestowed His favors upon me and you. You can't just say, yeah, Allah's given me so many favors. And one brother said, billions of favors. Billions, you've just said it in a word. Now come on, let's start counting. What favors have you received from Allah? Come on, put your hands up. I want to have one by one. Bismillah. Ya Allah, come on. Go on.
He's given me the ability to willingly choose to worship Him.
Allahu Akbar, Allah, that He's giving you the ability to willingly worship Him. Allahu Akbar, brothers, mashallah. Mashallah, good. Next one.
Job,
yeah. Go on, next one. Yeah, job, good. And not only just, when you say job, you got to think a bit further. Let me just take it down. When you say job, yeah, you got to think a bit further, because every day you have your job secured, Allah secures you that job. You know that? You know that every day you go to job, Allah secures that. And for the end of the salary, even if you go, okay, let's say you go for job every single day. Job, 30 days done my job. I want my paycheck. And the boss says, inshallah, bukra inshallah. Bukra inshallah. And then you come next day, he says, inshallah, tomorrow inshallah, inshallah. That's not gonna be good, is it? You know, we have some of our brothers in the Middle East, I'm not saying they're all bad, yeah, but some of them, they make you work here, yeah, for about 4 months, and they don't give you salary for 4 months. And then after that, they start paying you monthly. Or they don't give you first 6 months salary, or they keep you 6 months behind. And then after that, they start paying you. You know why? Because they don't want you to run away. It's a really bad game. You know, you're stuck. Because if you run away, you don't get 6 months salary. It's a really bad thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to give, you know, one of the things he said is that to give the salary before the sweat dries. By the way, brother said job. Good. Now, somebody else.
Mother and father.
Mother of Allahu Akbar. Thank you. Mother and father. Allah has favored you with a mother and father who is living. You know, they say there's two times you appreciate something. Any one thing, there's two times you appreciate it. One is before you have it, and the other is after you lose it. You understand? One is before you have it, and the other one is after you lose it. So imagine you had, let's say, imagine you you're gonna get a wife. Before you have your wife, you appreciate her. After you lose her, you appreciate her. In between, you know, you might not appreciate her so much. Same as you, you know, your husband, she might not appreciate you so much, but you appreciate someone or something before you get them, and after you lose them. So mother and father, the brother said, you'll only appreciate them, and wallah, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you can show the, you know, whatever you can towards your parents, please do your best you can. You know, just to spend those days, because once they're gone, they're gone. You won't get that chance again. That was three. Number four. Time, Allahu Akbar, great thing. Allah's given you time. Allah's favored me with having time. There's some brothers out there, they've got money, they've got no time. They've got money, they've got no time. You know, some brothers, I just can't think. You know, I know brothers who've got money. They've got good, rich, good bank balances. Yeah, the good bank balances. You know, like the guy basically, you know, he don't have to work for another 10 years if he don't want to work. That's how much Allah's given him to store away. Because how much do you need to spend a year? How much are you going to need with all your mortgage and everything else? Maybe 20, 25k, whatever. Some of these brothers out there, mashallah, Allah's given them £250,000 in their bank. They've got £250,000 in their bank. Right? They're good businessmen. They've been working. But you know what? I look at them and I think, man, I don't want to be in your position. I don't want to be in the position. You know why? The guy gets up at 6 in the morning. Right? Leaves the house, he gets up at 5 in the morning, leaves the house at 6, he comes back home about 7, 8 o'clock. And when he comes back home, he's good for no one. He just comes back home, winds down, washes his face, eats something, probably just watches a bit of TV and then knocks back out again. And then the next day he's gonna get out again, and like this. And you know, some brothers out there, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? They're stuck just to go to their job 2-3 hours. 2-3 hours to go to the job, 2-3 hours to get back. Some brothers flying all across the world, yeah, making loads of money. But you know what these brothers just said now? I'd rather have the time to do things, time for my family, time for my life, than to have the money and no time. Because you know what, brother? If you just pop out right now and you die, yeah, you die. You know that £250,000 that you got in your bank? It's not yours anymore. Ciao, brother. Ciao. Yeah, so you better start thinking ahead. Anyway, time, number four. Number five, please, somebody, come on.
Health.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah, if you got time, you got no health, what are you going to do? And health is something, any time it can go, any part can go. And you know, when you say health, can brothers break that down? When the brother just said health, what? How can you break that down? Come on, break it down.
The ability to wake up, that's health.
Be able to wake up somebody else. Come on. Health. What? Health in what? If it's just health, again, you know when you said a billion things Allah has done favor on? Billion is a billion. Yeah, but you got to break that down.
To see, to breathe.
Okay, come on. Yes, the brother's talking now. To see, that's one health. You're seeing constantly, one health. To breathe, another health. Another one, come on. To hear, nice, without pain in the ears, no pain in the teeth. Any brothers here sitting like this? Yeah, you're not doing that? Well, you know, 32 teeth are not giving you problems, or 28 for some of you. You haven't got your wisdom teeth yet. Anyway, 28 teeth are giving you no problem. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, you know, your neck not giving you a problem. You know, people who have problems with the arm, they have a problem. Just to get the motor skills back again for their teeth, brushing the teeth. You know, brushing the teeth? You mean you just go like that, yeah? If somebody has a problem here, you know what? That's the most difficult thing to do. They can't twist their hand. Every joint. Kullu sulama minan nas. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us in a hadith that every limb and every joint of our body has got a duty to thank Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla, and praise Allah for it. And how do you do it? He said, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Say it, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. These are all the ways that, ways that we can thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. Anyway, health, you've got to break it down. And brothers, I'm telling you one thing. If you just stick on this about health, hip joint, knees, ankles, toes, even when you've just had a splinter, you know, a splinter, small splinter goes inside here, and you can't, you know, you then notice how many times you use that finger. Like, let's just say it's this finger, yeah. Now, okay, you use this finger quite a lot, use that one, use your thumb quite a lot, yeah. But this one, when you use that one, when a splinter goes inside, then you find out. Then you find out. You try to close the zip, and it gets stuck. You know, so you try to grab something, and that splinter, where it is, it touches. You know, health is a big thing. Okay, come on, next one, another big one, please.
Games,
Allah's favorite you is games. MashaAllah. That is part of life as well, my friend, yeah? It's true. But, you know, don't make that your life, yeah? Don't make that your life. Anyone else? Bismillah, come on. Ability to walk, yeah, it can come under part of health and so on. Somebody else, big one.
Or youth.
Youth, Allahu Akbar, youth, young people who've got the youth. And can somebody else, come on.
Wealth,
Allahu Akbar, wealth, yes. I'm not saying wealth is a bad thing, guys. You know, I said something about that guy who's got £250,000 in the bank. There's nothing wrong with you having wealth in the bank. It's about what you have in your heart. You know, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, and it's a beautiful way of explaining it. He said, the dunya, our relationship with the dunya, he said, should be like a ship on the sea. You sail on the sea, but you don't allow the sea to get into the boat. If this water of the sea gets inside the boat will sink. But as long as you can sail on top of the sea and not get the sea inside you, then you're fine. He said the same way we live in this dunya without allowing the dunya to enter inside us. We live on the dunya, but we don't live with the dunya inside us. Do you understand, guys?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful way of expressing. So if you have money, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's under your feet and you have control over it, and it doesn't, you know, sort of control you. So anyway, we've just calculated so many favors of Allah, and you can carry on. In fact, one thing you can do to try and love Allah through His favors is to sit there, and every gift in your life you can think of, what you do is you thank Allah for that gift. So I'm going to give you a demonstration. So you think, my brain's working, alhamdulillah. Eyes are working, alhamdulillah. Light is coming in, alhamdulillah. I'm able to wink, blink, all that, alhamdulillah. I've got eyebrows, eyelashes, alhamdulillah. You know, just on the eye you can say so many alhamdulillah. But then I'm going to move on. So I've got my nose, alhamdulillah. I've got a face I can look in the morning, and the face, you know, we think I'm ugly or something. So, you know, I've got a face. I don't care how you look, guys, yeah? You got a face, you can look in the morning, and you got a face. Guys, come on, you got a face, yeah? End of the day, yeah? Your nose is not like, you see some guys, Allahu Akbar, you know, their nose is actually bent, you know, or their lip is always up there or something. You know, you haven't got that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So I've got a face, I can look, and I can appreciate my face. Alhamdulillah, I can eat without, you know, just think every part. My lips, alhamdulillah. You know, some people, they go to sleep, they can't stop their mouth from opening. It causes a lot of problems. Do you guys know anyone like that? You know, when they sleep, yeah? You know, normally your mouth stays closed, yeah? If you sleep and naturally your mouth doesn't close, you've got a serious problem. Number one is that you're going to get decay in your mouth. Your whole mouth gets dry, you're going to have real bad breath. Number two is that, you know, your whole throat gets dry, right? And number three, worst thing is that you don't get proper sleep. You don't get proper sleep. And number four is that you can actually wake up several times in the night because the saliva is giving you trouble. Because normally you have your mouth closed, it comes in, goes back out. But when you're awake, all night you're doing that, yeah, suddenly you wake up because you need to, like, you know, the saliva, whatever is in your thing needs to function, so you need to close it again, and you don't get good sleep. There's so many problems, you know, alhamdulillah, it closes, open, it's when you want, when I want, right? Alhamdulillah, my tongue, alhamdulillah, for the taste, that I can taste it. I know one brother, you know, he had an accident, and it hit his nose, and because of that, he can't taste food anymore. La ilaha illallah, he can't taste food anymore. This brother, he used to love pineapple. He used to love a few things, yeah. He used to love pizza, pineapple, and coconut and some other things I used to like, yeah. But that brother, he's eating pineapple, and I say to him after his accident, I say to him, but how does it taste? He goes, I can't taste it. I can't taste it. You know the gift of you tasting that because your function is working, alhamdulillah. Your food goes in and it goes and gets digested automatically, alhamdulillah. You go to the hospital, you see some people, they got bags outside the body because the urine has to get collected inside there. They ain't got a system to try and, you know, clean all that. Liver's not working or something, alhamdulillah. Kidney's working, alhamdulillah. Heart is working, alhamdulillah. Got no pain in my chest, alhamdulillah. No pain in my stomach, alhamdulillah. No pain in my back, alhamdulillah. No pain I've got in my hip joints, alhamdulillah. No pain in my legs, alhamdulillah. No pain in my thigh. And like that, you can go in right down to your body. Now, if you sit there, seriously, if you sit there and you just say, just imagine you say, alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. You think gift after gift after gift, favor after favor after favor after favor after favor. I will tell you right now, your love will increase for Allah, number one. And second is that you will feel emotional. You will start to cry. Because Allah has said in the Holy Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You try and count Allah's gifts, you will never be able to make that calculation. Never. You can calculate anything else you want, but you can't calculate the gifts of Allah. So you will be in tears. You will find that I can't count how many favors Allah has given me. Anyway, this was number one. Number two is the second reason why you love somebody is what? They have a quality inside them. Does Allah have qualities? Yes or no?
Yes.
And does He have the best of qualities? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, Allahu Akbar. You know, if you have a person who has mercy on you, if a person has mercy on you, naturally you have love for them. If, like, let's say you had debt with someone, you borrowed money off, and you had to pay them back £5,000 or something, and one day that person came to you and just said to you, you know what, I'm going to let you off. I'm going to let you off the £5,000. They had this quality of having mercy on you. They're not going to chase you up again and again. You will naturally love them for that reason. Any kind of quality that a person will show you, you'll have that. But Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah is the most merciful of those who have mercy. If you like generosity in someone, Allah is the most generous. If you like any quality in someone, let's say for example strength. If the quality of strength makes you look at someone and say, Allah, look at that strength. Look at that strength. And you love to look at that strength. Allah, you know what? Allah has the strength that nothing else can match. Any quality you look at, if you want to look at the quality of knowing things, like, you know, sometimes you say, oh, that brother, mashallah, knows everything. Sometimes you meet a genius. People love to meet geniuses and people love to, you know, talk to them and know them, get to know them more. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows everything. He knows the future, He knows the present, He knows the past into his minute detail. Any quality that you think about Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has the best of all qualities. And if a person sits down and starts to think about the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal, what Allah has in comparison to His creation, then it's never ending, never ending. So just this is the second thing that you do. You think about the qualities of Allah. The beauty, number three. Allah Azza wa Jal, His beauty is such that when the people will come to Jannah, and if you ask any brothers what they want in Jannah, they've got one thing on their mind is Hura'in. Yeah, you ask any brother what do you want in Jannah? Hura'in. Yeah. You ask any sister what she want in Jannah, she can't make her mind up. Yeah. The first thing she wants to know is why all the men have ended up with the Hura'in. But anyway, yeah. Let's say you have all the Hura'in you want. And you have the best of the Jannah, you know, you have Allahu Akbar. You know, when you talk about Jannah, it's never ending. And you know, everything that's been said about Jannah, don't forget that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart or mind can ever think of. So you can, you know, brothers, you know, some brothers get carried away. They know Hura'in and they try to imagine Hura'in. Brothers, that's not halal. Okay? You can't look at a woman in this world and say, oh, she's so beautiful. Hura'in more beautiful than that one. But I need to study this one to understand Hura'in. Now, brother, don't go down that line. Yeah? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because the thing is, all the women of this world, if you were to take all their beauty, they wouldn't even come to nearest to even the beauty of even the end of a finger of a hura'i or hawra. Not even the end of a finger. In fact, if you take the beauty of the entire world and you try and match it to the end of that, no. If she was to dip that in our dark universe, the sun would become dim in front of her, end of her finger. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar, brothers. Hey, you said Allahu Akbar nicely. Huh? So you have a Hura Ain, you have the Jannah, you have the drinks, you have the houses, you have the emeralds and the golds, and you have, you know, you can just imagine, you're on cushions, you're in the air, you can have what you want. You just wish and it comes to you. And every gift of Jannah after that, the moment Allah Azza wa Jal will reveal Himself to His servants in Jannah, everything in Jannah is forgotten. Hura'in, don't want any more. When a person sees Allah in Jannah, Hura'in, no, I'm not interested in Hura'in. I'm not interested in the drinks of Jannah. I'm not interested in the palaces of Jannah, the gold of Jannah. I'm not interested in anything in Jannah. I just want to see Allah. That's the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal. Musa alayhi salam had asked, he wanted to see Allah. Allah said, لَن تَرَانِي, you cannot ever see me. Meaning in this world, Allah hasn't given anyone the ability to see Him. وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ, look at the mountain. If the mountain can take a small glimpse of what I'm going to send it to it, then fine. Then maybe something, but you cannot ever see Him. So look at the mountain, watch the mountain. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, they say in the tafsir, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed something which was behind 70,000 veils. 70,000 veils between Allah and that mountain. And Allah revealed whatever He revealed to it. And because of that flash or whatever it was, the whole mountain turned into dust. And Musa alayhi salam had collapsed. And when Musa alayhi salam woke up, he said, Subhanak. He said, oh Allah, you are so, so sublime. I'm never going to ask you to see you again. Now, because the mountain turned to dust. The mountain turned to dust. If the mountain can't stand it, how will we stand? But anyway, in Jannah, Allah will give us the ability to see Him. However that is, the people of Iman believe in this, that Allah will give us the ability to see Him. We can't understand logically how it is, don't go into those arguments. We just know that we will see Allah. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hadith, Bukhari and so on, has told the Sahaba, he said, do you know, on a clear night, you see the 14th night moon. Is it clear? They said, yes. There's no clouds. You see it? They said, yes. He said, the same way you will see Allah Azza wa Jal in Jannah. You'll see Allah in Jannah. So anyway, we see Allah Azza wa Jal, and that's the most beautiful thing. And Allah, you think about it. A woman in this world, a guy goes crazy for her. He can't think straight. He can't, no. He can't think straight. And then some guys, yeah, they see, you know, after a little while, they see another woman, and that's it. No, that one. La hawla, you know, some people, Allahu Akbar, in this world. That's it. That's the extent of what they see in beauty. And then imagine Hura'in. Imagine if they were to see Hura'in. Allahu Akbar. These guys would drop dead, man. And if they saw the Hura'in in Jannah, and that would be the great, no eye has ever seen anything as beautiful. You can't even imagine how beautiful Allah has created these women. You can't imagine how beautiful they are. And on top of that, all the Hura'in of Jannah and all the whole of Jannah and everything on the side, a person forgets just by seeing Allah. Just by seeing Allah. Imagine how beautiful Allah is. So that's number three. Number four is connection. That is, that I'm connected to my parents, I'm connected to my siblings, and I have a natural love for them. What's the connection between us and Allah Azza wa Jal? Come on. What's the connection? What's the main connection between me and Allah? He's our Khaliq, our Creator. I have been, like basically, if you think here, your mum and your dad are so close to you because when you did a poo-poo, they clean you. You know when you were young and you do poo-poo, they clean you, Yeah? If you think, you know, you have a big thing to, you know, thank them for that. You don't even know how many times you did poo-poo and they clean you. If they left you on there, man, you got a big problem, man. Yeah. You'll be finished down there. You'll be finished, seriously. And only when you have a child, you understand, you know, how many times that you've got to clean them. And that's just poo-poo. There's all these other things that they do. They do wee-wee. And they've got, you know, vomit coming out. And they've got, you know, cries that you wipe, you have to wipe the tears. And they've got, you know, clothing, you have to clothe them. And then you have to watch them. And you have to save them from falling down the stairs. And you have to carry them. And you have to lullaby them to sleep. And everything else they do. And naturally, you have so much love for your parents. Because you knew they did all of that. You never saw it. Anyone remember your dad and mom cleaning your poo-poo? Anyone here remember that? Come on, put your hands up. Anyone remember that? You'll have a super memory. Nobody can remember. But you know what? You love the fact that you know that they did that for you. Allah Azza wa Jal, what's the connection? Is khalq. His khaliq. He's the creator. He created me. Now if you think about it, whoa! This is massive. That creation goes beyond, you know, that connection goes beyond anything. I was nothing. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Today the guy has got, you know, a name. People say, you know him? Yeah? You know Amza? You know Amza? Yeah, Amza, man. Don't mess with Amza, man. You know, Omar. Yeah? Omar's the beef, man. Omar's the beef. Omar rules, man. Today he's got a name, Amza, Omar. Guys, if you got a name here, at least, you know, live up to your name. It's Umar. What is it? Say, everyone say it. Umar. You know, when you go, don't try and get, you know, some of these people, they can't pronounce your name. Instead of saying Muhammad, they say Muhammad. You say, no, sorry, that's not my name. Imagine the guy's name was Daniel and you said Daniel. my name's Daniel. Daniel? Imagine you said that. Imagine the guy's name is, you know, Jonathan. You say, Joe Nathan. I'd love you to do that. Honestly, just do that next time. They call you Muhammad. Say, yeah, Jonathan. I love you, man. Me from Africa, you know. Me can't speak a language, you know. They spell your name. What for? Because the guy doesn't want to pronounce it properly. But you teach them. Like they have Umar, they call it Yuma, or they call it Omar. And you tell them, say Umar. They say Umar. They say Umar. Umar. Otherwise I'm going to show you what Umar is. Yeah. See, the Nu'man, they call it Newman. Bilal, they start calling it Bill. No, I mean, what is going on, man? Teach them that this is my name, this is how you pronounce it. But anyway, the point is that the guy's got a name today. He's got a name out there. Allah says in the Holy Quran in 76 surah in the beginning, you forget you having a name, you wasn't even a thing to be known. No one even knew what you were, you weren't anything. You weren't even a human being. لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Nothing of you was mentioned. Like people didn't even mention you, refer to you in, you know, let's say 1999 or 1995, when you weren't even born. People didn't say, oh, you know Omar? Who's Omar? You know the guy who's going to rule the streets in 2014 or 2015? You know Omar? Omar? People didn't mention you. People didn't know you. So you basically come out, and then what? You come out, but you just didn't come out just like that. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla had to take you from being nothing, take me from, imagine this is me, okay, nothing at all. And then the first thing Allah does is, He creates me from a liquid. That liquid was a liquid that you want to throw away. Allah calls it ma'in maheen, lowly water. Then Allah makes me settle in my mother's womb. And what makes me settle inside there, I don't know if the camera can see this, but if you guys can see this, yeah. That's how small you were, my friend. That's how small I was. Yeah. And in that, Allah already had my eyes, my ears, my blood cells. Everything I needed was inside there, but He just had to develop it. So in that, what happens is, so if you look at a baby, it looks like a chewing gum. Seriously. Allah said, mudgha, like a chewing gum. Something that looks like that's been chewed. And that's what I was. Now you can't even see my toes, my feet, no, nothing. And then slowly, Allah makes it grow. And the thing is, I'm not being fed here. Allah's feeding me through here, direct into the stomach. And as I'm growing, slowly you start seeing this. Slowly you start seeing this. You know, this is a sudden that bones, heavy, hard bones, man, coming out of a liquid. You think about it, it's amazing. And this is me, this is you, every single one of you. And you think, just spend some time sitting on the musalla, just you and Allah. Just think how Allah created me. And you think, as you're growing. Right? As you're growing, you're getting bigger and you're turning. You're moving inside your mother's womb. And you know what? You're upside down. You're upside down at certain times. And still Allah, you know, gravity doesn't spoil you. It doesn't spoil you. Allah has made such a wonderful mechanism. And as you're growing, Allah's feeding you. Then when you pop out, and the first thing that you do is what? What's the first thing you do? If Allah didn't make you cry, there's a massive problem. Your lungs are not going to work. You ask the doctors. If they don't cry, if babies don't cry straight away, the lungs are not going to get strong. You need to cry. And you cry, and Allah gives you milk. Straight away in the mother's, you know, system, Allah gives milk. There was no milk there before you were born. Soon as you're born, there's milk. Allah wants to feed. Allah fed me, and Allah clothed me, and Allah made me grow up. And then you think, Subhanallah, the khalq Allah's given me. Yeah, you know, you think, how did I learn to walk? It's a miracle. It's a miracle to walk. I mean, they spend millions and millions getting a robot to walk. There's so much involvement in walking, right? Even then they walk like that, right? Human, just to get up and to walk, you think about it, a baby gets up first they're on their back. And there's a big, you know, favor Allah did in putting me on my back. There's a big favor Allah did in putting me on my back. Can anyone tell me what that is? You know, babies are on the back. Sorry? The spine is not yet formed properly to try and take my whole body. So Allah keeps me on my back. But there's another favor Allah does. You know, babies, they vomit. I vomited so many times, you vomited so many times. You know this Omar and this Muhammad, whatever, yeah? Allah could have killed you straight there in the cot. Because when you vomit, if you're still like that, the baby can choke on the vomit. And what the baby does, and you know who makes this happen? Allah makes it happen. He's put an angel next to the baby. And the baby, the angel will move the baby's head so that the baby has vomited and the baby moves the head this way so the vomit goes that way and doesn't choke on its own vomit. Allahu Akbar. So many times it happened to me and you. And that Khaliq made me grow, and the Khaliq gives me, you know, you learn, you know, language. Language is a miracle. Language itself is a miracle. How we learn it. Anyway, I learned language. Then I grow up. And Allah gave me muscles. Allah says, خَلَقَكُم مِّن ضَعْف or ضَعْف. ثُمَّ And then after Allah gave me weakness, He gave me strength. So now, you know, you have strength and you grow and you become big. Allahu Akbar. That is Khaliq. And Khaliq, every day He's still Khaliq. Every day He's creating things inside me and in my body. Yes or no, tell me. Yes or no, go and tell me, guys. Yes. Your fingernails, if they don't grow, they're going to die. If they die, you've got a serious problem. Even if a fingernail grows in the wrong direction, if Allah makes it go into the, like the certain people get the toenail going inside the toe, and it causes cancer, sometimes they have to cut the feet off. There's huge, many things happening. You know, you just sleep, I sleep. And you slept, yeah? You had the burger on top of your stomach, and in the morning you got the burger at the bottom of your stomach. How did that happen, brother? You think you just had burger last night? Yeah? And you wake up in the morning and it's now it's time to take the burger back out? You think that just happened automatically? Allah Azza wa Jalla, throughout the sleep, the whole system shuts off. But Allah does not shut off the digestive system. Allah does not shut off the digestive system. He wants me to tell. And you know why it's all digesting? There's a lot of things going on inside there, man. It's like a factory inside there. There's loads of workers. You know the workers are? Little maggots. They're workers. They're eating the food and everything else is happening. So you think, well, maggots, Sheikh, I got maggots inside here? Yeah. And they're the first ones to eat you when you're dead. It's all happening. There's a system. And when all that happens in the morning, you wake up and it's all ready to go out, man. Allahu Akbar. Hey, I want my servant to go and have a nice day. So early in the morning, get it all out. Flush it out. Go out there. And you're ready. There's so many things that are happening. Anyway, my thing is four reasons why we can love Allah Azza wa Jal. And I want the people who are listening to this to try and go through these four reasons. Favors Allah has done. Think again and again. Number two, you think about Allah's qualities, if you can, in comparison to His creation. The qualities Allah has got. Arhamur Rahim, the most merciful of those who are merciful. The beauty of Allah. And the link I have with Allah, it will create love inside a person. And when we are believers, Allah Azza wa Jal, His love for us, see, this is naturally we should love Him. Naturally we should. Because of all the things He's done for us. His love for us is when we start to show love to Him. So you know that iman I said that settles in the heart? If I allow that iman to start growing, it grows with love for Allah. And then there comes a time when logic does not know anything. You know, I said to you in the beginning of the lecture, you know, when love intensifies, it doesn't know anything. Those people who love Allah, Allah has said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those people who believe in Allah, they have an intense love for Allah. What does that mean? That means that my salah, my things for Allah, I can't sacrifice any of that. Sin? Me, sin, no way. My Allah, my Khaliq is watching me. My Raziq who provides me, watching me. My Mun'im, the one who favors me, is watching me. The one who provides me, the one who created me, the one who favors me, is watching me. How can I sin? I can't. I'm in love with Him. When you're in love with Allah, it's difficult to sin. Very difficult to sin. But how do you increase that love? How you increase that love is the third part to Iman. Which the first is that you testify with the tongue. Second is you allow it to settle in your heart. You testify with your heart. And third is that the body starts to act according to the iman. So you start doing what Allah told you to do. The more you do it, the more slowly you'll see that your love is increasing for Allah. But brothers and sisters who are going to listen to this, the love of Allah Azza wa Jal in our ibadah, in my worship, your worship, is only going to be there when I switch it on. There's a magical switch inside there. You have to switch it on. If you want to switch it on, you can switch it on. You can start enjoying it. If you want to keep it off, you won't enjoy it. It's like that. You won't enjoy it. So what happens is, for example, a person prays for 60 years. And he just did, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Salaamu Alaikum, Salaamu Alaikum, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 60 years like that, and you didn't switch it on where the person's really trying to devote himself to Allah. Trying to think about Allah, trying to think about the wondrous thing about Allah, watching this person and so on. If a person doesn't do that, what happens is the person will not enjoy all this worship. So we need to switch that on, try and show the devotion. You can say, for example, you can say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu. And you can say this, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is in your mind. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And you switch it on, that you want to enjoy this, man. I don't want to just say alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Say alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. And put some enjoyment inside there. It's up to you. You switch it on in your mind that you're really enjoying this, you'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy it. You get a brother to watch a football match, and he does, you know, he's not into it. If he's not into it, if he doesn't know what football, you know, he doesn't know what football, he just sees a ball going boom, 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 boom. He's not going to enjoy it. When you enjoy it is when you know about the players, you know about the teams, you know that if you find out that this is the finals, whoa, see that word? Finals? Whoa, I've got to watch this, man. It's a finals. It's the finals. This is it. They're going to win the cup now. There's an interest in there already. If you know that, you know, this team and that team, they've been battling against each other and they played 5 times in the past and now it's the 6th time and this other one, you know, they've always had very close, you know, scores. You know, you get enjoyment. If you know about the linesman, if you know about the, you know, what is fouling, if you know that what is a penalty, if you know what is a yellow card, you know what a red card is, you know what is, and I don't know half these terms, man. You know, they, you know when they kick the ball on the other side and they offside. That's it. See, I'm not following you. Yeah. So offside, yeah. If you know what it is, if you know how it works, then you know about the game. You enjoy more. And if you try and, you know, get there with some other brothers as well and try and enjoy, Allahu Akbar. Same way with worship. If you try and make something out of trying to worship Allah and enjoying it, you can enjoy it. If you just do it just to get it out of the way, you won't enjoy it. Now, love increases for Allah by a person doing what they're supposed to do and staying away from whatever haram Allah has made. And the more they do that, the more love increases. Until Allah Azza wa Jal, He shows His love to this servant. And how does Allah Azza wa Jal show His love to this servant? When Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves His servant, then Allah calls Jibreel alayhi salam. And he says to Jibreel, he says, "Oh Jibreel," imagine this is the highest of all the authorities in the heavens. Allah says, "Oh Jibreel, I love so and so." Imagine East London, E1, Cannon Street. Yeah. So and so. And honestly, it's like this. It's like somewhere down on planet Earth, in Europe, in UK, whatever is left of the UK, yeah guys? Hope you got that, yeah? In the UK, in England, in London, in East London, in E1, in Cannon Street, in, what's this masjid called? Ashabid, is it?
Ashabidi
Center. What is it called?
Ashatibi
Center.
Ashatibi.
Is it Ashatibi? Yeah, Ma. Ashatibi. Oh, mashallah. Ashatibi, okay, mashallah. The brother who sent me the link, I was looking at the Shabidi, what's Shabidi? Okay. So, Ashatibi, mashallah. Ashatibi Center, yeah? So, in Shatibi Center, there's this one brother who comes into the Salah. That one, O Jibreel, I love. And I want you, Jibreel, to love him as well. Imagine Allah saying to Jibreel, "O Jibreel, I want you to love that one there." So how's Jibreel going to show his love? Alayhi salatu wasalam. How is he going to show his love? So Jibreel, alayhi salam, according to a Sahih Hadith, he comes down to the highest heaven. He calls the highest angels, get together. He's saying, this is Jibreel, I'm saying this. Down there, in Europe, in England, in London, in E1, Cannon Street, Ashatibi Masjid, there's this brother, imagine his name is Mustafa. Imagine, don't get too excited if your name is Mustafa now, brother. Right. Imagine his name is Mustafa, another Mustafa down there who goes to I want all of you angels to love him. Because Allah loves him, you all should love him. So they come down to the next set of angels and they call them together. They say, Allah has announced, Jibreel alayhi salam has announced, the hierarchy of the angels have announced, and we're announcing to you that you must love Mustafa from E1, Cannon Street, comes to Shatibi Masjid, whatever, you have to love him. So they carry on coming down, because none of them have got duties on the earth. Jibreel alayhi salam comes once a year on Laylatul Qadr. So he's not going to come down right now, but he sent the message, and the hierarchy angels are not going to come down, but they sent the message, and they send it until it gets to the lower angels of this dunya who constantly come inside and out, and they gather and they're told, Allah has announced from the heavens that He loves Mustafa from E1, Cannon Street, Shatibi Masjid, this is who He is, you all have to love Him, you all should love Him. So they come on the earth, they look for Mustafa. And what they do is, they start to make everyone else around Mustafa love Mustafa. This is in the hadith. Hub, the love of all the other servants, you know, of Allah around you, they just like you. They just like you. You know, in the heart, They look at him, mashallah. You know, sometimes you see a brother inside the masjid, or sometimes you just see a brother somewhere, you just think, mashallah, I like that brother. I really like him. You know, the way their akhlaq is, the character, the way they are, they might be close to Allah in some way. You know, they're not asking for anyone, anything. They're not dodgy men. They're not anything else. But you just naturally, you just look at them, you think, you know, I like that brother. You know, you want to go and meet them. I like that. Where does that, it's not always the case here. So if you got, you know, like 50,000 followers on Facebook, don't get excited, brother. Yeah? Don't get excited, brother. Because those are just likes, you know, they're like computer clicks, likes, you know, that's all it was. Yeah? Some brothers get excited, you know, I'm being followed on Twitter. You know, there's celebrities out there, man, they got more followers than you. And me and all of us put together. Yeah? And they're basically singing their way to Jahannam, na'udhu billah. Right? They're singing their way to Jahannam. May Allah give them iman, say ameen. May Allah give them hidayah and guidance, ameen. But if they die like that, then we know that they've just sung themselves towards Jahannam. And they're taking so many people with them to Jahannam. So what I want to say to you is that what the angels do is that they create love. And they create qabool. Qabool, you know, qabool is acceptance. That whatever you're doing now, Allah will start accepting your ibadah. Allah accepts your dua. Allah accepts your sujood. You know, because the angels are constantly working to try and make things easy for you. And if there is an individual whom Allah doesn't like, then the same thing happens. When Allah called Jibreel and he says, down there, Cannon Street, E1, so on so, I won't give you a name for this, just in case it's your name, you think, man, the guy's jinxing me, you know? Jinxing me, man. So he said, down there, there is this one servant of mine, one servant of mine, that I hate, and Jibreel, I want you to hate him. So Jibreel will come to the Harak and just gather them all together. E1 down there, servant of Allah, so and so, in Cannon Street, Shatibi Masjid, around there. That one, hate him. And they carry on coming until the lower angels, they gather together and they told. So they come and they create hatred for this person. People naturally hate them. And that's why, you know, all these druggies and so on. Why do they end up with miserable lives? Either they're going to take their own life, they're going to take other lives, or some people are going to be after them. Why? Why do people dislike them, dislike the character? Because when you go down that pathway, the angels are creating further disturbances for these people because they're moving away from Allah. If you're finding yourself that you're a person like this, well, the way to do it is, look, don't become dismayed. Some people might say, well, what have I done wrong, man? I go that way and then I get a whole bunch of angels moving me in that direction. No, brother, listen to me, yeah? What it is here is that the moment you do tawbah to Allah, you repent to Allah, you turn to Allah, Allah will announce something different. Allah will put white into your heart. Allah will change you around. But the thing is, to get Allah's love, you do what you have to do. And what does Allah do? Look in the Quran. Allah has different levels. One is Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. That's for the whole entire world. But when you've accepted iman, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed in me and my messenger. There's a difference. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. If you carry on being good, then it changes. Allah says, Ya ibadi, la khawfun alaykum al-yawma wa la antum tahzanun. Oh, my servants. Allah then says, my servants. First, oh people. Then, oh you who believed. Then, oh my servants. You know what that means? I mean, of course, we're all are His servants, right? Kafir is His servant. In the sense that they have been created as His servants. Everyone in the world is His servant. Whether they wish to, you know, gain iman or not, they're still His servants. They're still His khalq, His creation, they're His servants. Whether they wish to serve Him or not, they're still His servants. Why is Allah saying to you and me or somebody, He's saying, Ya ibadi, why? Because it's like, imagine parents, you know, they say, you know, that's my son. That's my son. You know that phrase, that's my son. That your parents don't say about every single, you know, they've got maybe four sons and they say about one of them, that's my son. You know why they say that? Because that one has made them extra happy. That one, they look at, they say, they're all sons. But why do they say, that's my son? Because of the fact that they have proved themselves and they've showed that kindness towards the parents and so on. Same thing, when we do what Allah's asking us to do, what does Allah do? Allah asks Allah will address us with what? With ibadi. And these ibad, or these servants of Allah on the earth, our whole attitude will tend towards Allah. So what I want to say to you brothers is, how do we gain Allah's love? How you gain Allah's love is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have to follow his example. That's how we gain Allah's love. Allah said that in the Holy Quran. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you claim that you love Allah, if you want to love Allah, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow me. The love of Allah is in the footsteps of following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's ultimately the love of Allah. The more we try and find out about his life, what he did, and the more I try and get myself to adapt to that life, the more Allah Azza wa Jalla will love me. And I'm going to say there's four things regarding this. Okay? Four things regarding this. Number one is you have to find out what the sunnah was, or what Allah has told us to do. Number two is we have to act upon that. So one is ilm, one is amal. So first you find out what it is, then you act upon it. Number three is we have to make it a habit and be inclined towards it. You know, when you make a habit, you make a habit of anything, you'll be inclined towards it. So that's number three. So what's number one? Yes. Finding out. That's knowledge. And what's number two? Amal or practice. Yeah, good. Number three, habit and being inclined towards it. You've got to carry on doing it, because anything you do habitually, you're inclined towards it. And let me give you an example. If you brush your teeth every night, and one night you never brush your teeth, you're going to feel really odd. If you brush your teeth every morning, and one morning you never brush your teeth and you left the house, you're going to feel like your mouth's a graveyard. You're going to feel like there's something wrong inside your mouth. Now, what's going on, man? What's wrong? Like, when you open your mouth, you're probably going to have to, like, you know, first, like, oh, you know, like, it's getting straight up your you know, nose, right? So the thing, my point is, when you make it a habit, the body automatically wants you to do it. It will remind you. You'll feel a bit odd in your mouth. It's time to brush my teeth. When it's your habit that you sleep every night at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, when 10, 11 comes, you'll feel tired naturally. If you make it a habit, it will run with that. And if habits are things that you want to do, you're inclined towards them. So anyway, number one is you know what to do. Number two is you actually do it. But then you have to make it your habit. Number four is you move towards excellence in that thing. You move towards the excellence of spirituality towards that. So, for example, for salah, I need to know how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. I need to act upon it and pray. And I need to make it a habit of praying. And then number four is I need to move towards the excellence of prayer. Now the excellence of prayer is what? Is that I try and do it with all the calmness I can. And I try and increase the spirituality and my mind and devotion to Allah. That's excellence of salah. Have you guys got that? So for example, I find out how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate. And one of the things I find out is that if the food dropped off, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, if he wasn't dirty, he picked it up and he, if there's dirty, removed it and he ate it. I find that out. I find that he cleaned his plate. I find out that he ate, he ate in a way where he's thanked Allah or he praised Allah and so on. I find out all about that. Then I practice it. Then I make it a habit. Then I try to move towards excellence in the sense that every time I'm doing it and I'm cleaning the plate and I'm finishing all my food off, whatever it is, I'm finishing it off properly, Allahu Akbar, that is now moved, I've moved towards the fourth thing. In every action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in everything, I try and get these four things done. And excellence, the last one, is the most important one in some ways, because that's when you really enjoy it. If I can do this, brothers, if you can do this, then my love of Allah Azza wa Jal will increase, and in return, Allah Azza wa Jal, His love will increase for me. Because I'm following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has said in the Quran, Surah Ali Imran, ayah number 31, Allah has said, if you follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ and Allah will forgive our sins. Allah will show His love towards me, Allah will forgive my sins, and Allah is the one who is most, you know, He's oft forgiving and He's the one who has mercy. So anyway, I'm going to summarize the talk now. I said to you that love is here, love is not here. And there's a big reason why I said that, just to quickly expand on that. Why love is here is because once your love increases for Allah, you don't, you know, the logic, it don't come in the way. Like, you know, you're going for an interview. If you've got love of Allah in here and you want to practice your deen, you go for an interview. Your logic says, if I don't get a job, then I'm going to be left without paying my bills. Your love of your heart says, I put Allah first. I put my salah first. So if you go for an interview, you go for an interview and you will tell him, say, I need my, you know, I'm going to pray in between my lunch, or I'm going to pray in between, I need a break. Sometimes salah comes in, I need 5 minutes to pray. I'm sorry, I'm going to need 5 minutes to pray. So, you know, that's fine. You know, that you'll get it. If you strive for it, Allah will make a way. Now, if they say, you know, sorry, you know, we're not giving you the job because you said you're going to pray. Ah, man, so what? So what? Allah will provide me in another different way. Yes or no, brothers?
Yes.
Allah will provide me. That's where the heart is. Logic, you know, so what? I can't pay my bills. Allah will make me pay my bills. It's going to happen. You try and show Allah your love because you can't give up your fard salah for your you know, job. You can't do that. But guys, don't go to the other extreme. Don't go to the other extreme of, like, you know, I know you have to pray for salah, but don't go. You know, some brothers, they take time at work for salah and then they're gone for 15, 20 minutes. Allahu Akbar. You just need 5 minutes for wudu and you just pray and you're back. Yeah, no, some brothers are taking a nice 25 minutes. Don't go to that extreme. And then I tell you another extreme, yeah. Some brother, I think he was in northwest London, he was on the bus, yeah. And imagine that this is a bus driver. I think, you know, without any offense, yeah, I think the brother was Somali as well, yeah. But he was driving a bus. Again, no offense. I've got nothing against Somali brothers. They're lovely brothers. I think, you know why I love Somali brothers? Because they're the brothers who I see are filling the masajid. Yes or no, tell me. Most of our masjids, wherever you find the Somali community, they're really filling the masjids up. Alhamdulillah. But they've got other things as well that they need to sort out. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, not going to start on that, yeah? But anyway. So what happens is that this Somali brother is driving the bus. Yeah, he's at 3:30 PM. Yeah, he's got the whole bus full of, you know, every ethnicity you can think of. Yeah, mums with their prams and everything else inside there. Yeah, you know, old women with the shopping and men as well sitting down. And the bus is crowded at 3:30. What he does is he stops his bus at the side. Yeah, he gets out of his little, you know, seat and he says Allahu Akbar, and he's got the doors closed. Everything Allahu Akbar. And the brother's praying Salatul Asr, mashallah. Yeah? So Allah, he's doing ruku and sujood on the bus. And they're all waiting. They're looking at him. And you know what they're thinking? This guy's going to blow us up. Seriously. This guy's reading his last prayers to blow us up. And he shut the doors as well. Yeah? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? It came in the news as well. It was in the newspaper. So what happened is that the brother, you know, he just prayed and got back in his seat and he just started driving off. Yeah? So they put a complaint in that this, you know, when we got to the next stop, you know, most of them just go, oh man, we're not getting on that bus again. Yeah? So they put a big complaint. And then the manager had to tell him that, you know, look, you want to pray. Yeah? Come on, come back to the base here and pray there. Right? Don't pray in the middle of your journey. Yeah? Close all the doors. Yeah? The bus is packed and you're like reading your last salah before you blow it up. So anyway, don't go to another extreme. You know, we've got to pray. We've got to do a deen, but you know, you've got to be considerate as well in some way. So jazakumullah khair for sitting, listening. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.